Jesus, I love thee. Song number 174. We've got our service times listed there in the upper left-hand side every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. Again at 5:30 p.m. Thursdays at 7. We're in 2 Kings. We'll be in chapter 5 this week. We've got the church-wide soul winning, the salvations, the baptisms, as well as the offering totals for both the month and year, as well as some attendance statistics. Over on the right-hand side, happy birthday to those celebrating in the month of October. Also, we've got the wedding anniversary for the Nunezes, so be sure to congratulate them as well. And the weekly Bible memory project that we're working on, part 6 of 7, memorizing the Old Testament books as well as the chapters. I always get super nervous when I put this in there. I check and double check. I'm always afraid I'm going to put something in here that's incorrect. So as far as I can tell, compared to all the Bibles I looked at, all these chapters and books are in the right order. But let me explain, just so nobody gets confused, that these are columns. So just like you read your Bible, you're going to work on the left-hand side and go down. So it's Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. It's not Hosea, Obadiah, Joel. So in case you don't know that, those of you memorizing it, hate to see you memorize it out of order, going left to right. You got to go left, down, right, down. Okay, I know that's a lot of explanation for something you probably already knew. But if you're going to take the time to memorize, you might as well make sure you're doing it right. Okay, so it's Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. And don't forget, there's going to be a special prize for those that can retain this and when the pop quiz comes up, you know, it's going to be unexpected. I don't even know when it's going to be yet. So first things first, we'll get through this week. There's an extra book this week. You know, you got the six, you're going to finish it out with six books this week and next week. So who's on track to get this done? All right. Excellent. Then also don't forget the kids 8 years or younger can memorize just the books, but if they want to do the chapters as well, that's fine too. Mexico Monday is tomorrow. If you haven't already done so, please communicate to me or Brother Secura if you plan on attending. Also on the back, everyone's invited to the wedding of Thomas Forte and Charlotte Hesser. That's going to be Friday, October 14th at 2:30 p.m. at the church building in Tempe. Cake and light refreshments will be served. So even if you don't know who they are, you can just still go up there and enjoy the fellowship and enjoy the cake and light refreshments. My family and myself will be going. We did some high-level math, I think, after Thursday night to figure out how many seats are left in the church van, because there was some confusion on my end about that. So I do have, I think, it's a 15-passenger van, and there's seven of us. So we want to only take, for comfort's sake, we'll call it a 10-passenger van. So that means, I forgot my phone. Does anyone have a calculator? No, I'm kidding. So that means we have about three or four seats, okay, depending on the people, I guess. But, you know, if you want to go, you're more than welcome to come. I'm just going to get run out of this town on a rail, okay? But if you want to come, there's still those seats available. They're limited. It's first come, first serve. But we'd love to have you along and come celebrate that special day with the Forte and Hesser families. And then also, don't forget, below that, we've got the, moving on quickly, the 2022 yearbook portraits. So this is all going to be done all in one afternoon. We're going to get everybody's photo taken that wants to participate, simply because Brother Ramon is coming down here from Tempe, and he doesn't have the time to be going back and forth, and he's the one who's shooting all the photos up there for the Tempe yearbook. But we're going to be included in that yearbook. We'll have our own section, the Tucson folks, and we'll get a nice picture taken. We'll have a backdrop set up, but it's going to be right after the morning service on October 23rd. We'll have some sub sandwiches from EG's, and so while you're waiting, you can have something to eat. It's probably going to take maybe an hour and a half. I don't know exactly. To get the photo taken doesn't take a long time, but we're going to have to work through everybody. We'll start with the bigger families and work our way down. So please do participate. If you do, you'll also get a high-quality digital file of the photo. So that'll be sent to you in your email, and then you can do all kinds of things with that. You can make greeting cards out of it. You can get the nice photo framed for the wall. You can put it on a banner and have a biplane fly it over the city of Tucson. Let everyone see your pearly whites. But come and get that photo taken, because, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you always look back on in the years and you think, man, we never took the time to get that photo taken. It's one of those things you kind of have to make yourself do. Well, you know, the church is doing it, and it's doing it at no cost to you. And, in fact, we're even feeding you while you're waiting. So try to find a photographer who's willing to do all that. They're not out there. But we're going to do that for you. So do mark the calendar there and plan to have that done if you'd like. Also, more exciting news, we've got the annual chili cook-off coming up on Monday, October 31st from 4:30 to 7:30. All chilies anyone who wants to enter a chili for the competition must have it here by 5 p.m. No exceptions. Okay, I'm going to go on the record and say it now. It has to be here by 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock is when the voting begins. All right, so you say, well, why can't I show up at 6 or 7? Because by then people are already going to be casting their votes. And then if your chili's better, then they're going to have to go and take it out and put it in somebody else's. We don't want that confusion. Just have the chili here by 5 p.m. That's when we're going to start. Just pick your favorite chili and vote for it. That's how we're going to do it. You'll probably just give you a ticket or something. We'll figure that out when we get there. The important thing is that we're going to be eating chili. There's going to be sides and spiced cider provided by the church. So we'll have some sides, chips, bean dip, probably some corn muffins, you know, and the cider and maybe some other beverages provided. There will be prizes awarded to first, second, and third place winners. Now, let me say this about the prizes, because I know, I think the first year we did this, I set a pretty high bar for prizes. And that may have influenced some people's voting. It kind of dawned on me. And I'm not saying it did. I'm just saying there's potential. You know, that if you make the prize so alluring, some people might be willing to kind of maybe bend the rules a little bit. I'm not saying that happened, right? But I don't want that to be a temptation when there's a potential $100 gift card to Amazon or $50 gift card. That's kind of steep. So this year, we're toning it down. It's going to be modest prizes. And I'm not exactly sure what all is going to be up for grabs, but it's not going to be this. pass the offering plate as it goes around. You can follow along with me as I read from Psalms 122. Psalms 122. I'm sorry, that's totally wrong. We're going to go to Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Maybe I did want one Psalms 122. Yeah, Psalms 122. Sorry, let's go there. Psalms 122. I'll start reading from verse 1 in Psalms 122. It says there in verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I shall... In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts... seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. And if you remember last week, I talked about how it's good to have kind of a theme verse for the year. And because the church had just celebrated its fourth year anniversary, we're moving into the fifth year, that I thought it would be good to kind of keep this in front of us throughout the year, this idea of seeking to excel. You know, we don't want to get to a place in our lives as individuals or as a church where we start to plateau and just kind of take the status quo and just say that's good enough. That's not the attitude that we want to have in our lives, and that's not the attitude that we want to have when it comes to serving God. And again, Paul here in 1 Corinthians 14 is saying, seek that you may excel. I mean, we talked about the idea that excelling and improving is something that has to be done through desire. That's something you have to want. It's something that you have to go after. And desire, that's something you have to want. It's something that you have to go after. And it's something that in context of 1 Corinthians 14 should be done to the edifying of the church. And really that's what I want to just spend maybe a week or two talking about. I don't want to carry this out too far, but I do want to put my finger on a few things this morning more specifically. I know I've kind of been building this up, but I'm just going to touch on a couple things this morning that I think that are important, that are areas that, you know, we could all work to excel at. These are areas that we could all work to seek to be better in and to improve in, okay? Now, I want to start by saying this, is that when it comes to serving God, when it comes to improving, when it comes to the things of the Lord, you know, attitude, and really this is true about any area in life, attitude is everything. The way that we think, the way that we feel about things is going to affect how we act, okay? Attitude really is everything. I'll just read to you from Proverbs 23. It says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty. His heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So the things that come out of our mouths, the actions that come out of our intentions, you know, those are all things that come from our heart, which is why it's so important to do, to what? To guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And to always be keeping our attitude in check and making sure that, you know, when the flesh is getting out of hand, or when we're getting a bad attitude, that we rein that in, okay? And that we always make sure that have our priorities in order, okay? Because, again, you know, I just want to put my finger on a few things this morning and get a little bit more specific about areas that I think that we could seek to excel in. And really, it's just in two areas. And I don't want to belabor, you know, this whole series here, but really, two areas I think we could always seek to excel in is in the area of our services, meaning our church services, and then obviously in our soul winning. Because, I mean, what else are we doing as a church? I mean, I know we're having a lot of extracurricular things that we do, but really, what is it that we're here to do as a church? You know, we're here as a church to have church services for the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, and then we're here also to fulfill the Great Commission of going out and preaching the gospel to every creature and teaching them all things whatsoever has been commanded us. That is the purpose of the church, You know, obviously there's a lot of other things that we benefit from. But we always have to keep in mind the primary purpose of the church. It's not to provide people with a social life. Okay? It's not there to just entertain people. It's there to get the work of God done. Look, we could still go ahead and have our social life. We could still go ahead and have our entertainment. We can go ahead and still have the fellowship and all those good things that come along. Acts 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. You know, if you find yourself having to drag yourself into church, if church is just some laborious thing that you just have to just make yourself do week in and week out, you know, you ought to do some soul searching. You ought to ask yourself, why am I not glad when it was said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord? You know, and here's the thing. I understand that, you know, sometimes we have other things going on in life. Sometimes things are going to be hard. Sometimes going to church isn't going to be just the most thrilling thing to us. You know, sometimes coming to church and hearing a sermon can be quite uncomfortable. If you don't believe me, just buckle up, okay? Because it's about to get uncomfortable, all right? But sometimes, you know, but if that's just continually our attitude of just like, oh, church again, oh, soul winning again, oh, by all these things that come to the things of the Lord, you know, that shows a poor attitude. And that's something that we need to get in check and say, am I glad to be going here? And if not, maybe we should do some soul searching and ask ourselves, why should I be glad to go to church? You know, why? What are some reasons that you should be grateful that there's a church like this in Tucson where you live? A lot of other churches out there, I'm sure there's plenty of other good churches, but are they doing the work that needs to be done? Maybe they are. I don't know. This morning, and the one thing I want to really touch on is this idea when it comes to our church services is being on time or being punctual when it comes to coming to church. And again, I know that not everyone's going to make it here on time. Things happen. I mean, good night. I'm trying to get here on time yesterday to soul winning, and the 19 narrows down to one lane on Saturday morning. You know, it's like, what in the world? You know, because they had this construction. You know, thankfully, I still made it here in the nick of time. I mean, I walked in literally on time, you know, at like 10:30. But here's the thing, you know, when it comes to being on time, there's this saying that's out there, on time is late. On time is late. That's something that they say in the military. On time is late. You know, when it comes to serving and excelling and doing better, you know, squeaking in at the last minute you're not going to excel. And I'm going to harp on this. And look, I don't want to turn this into a browbeating sermon. I don't want to bully people from the pulpit. People can do whatever they want. But I'm going to touch on it because, you know, we're going to talk in the soul winning and doing some follow-up and getting people here. But I don't want to go through all the work of getting people to come to church and dragging visitors in here to have them show up at 10 o'clock to an empty building. Have them show up at 10:15 to an empty building. Or just, you know, Brother Andrew, bless his heart, in here practicing his scales, you know. They walk in and he's the only one here, you know, me and him, and I'm running around like a chick with my head cut off trying to get everything ready, and he's over there, la, 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 or whatever he does. I'm not saying that's what he does, right? But, you know, it sets the mood, you know. And look, I think our church is in a great place. I was almost hesitant to bring this up just because I don't want people to get the idea that somehow, you know, we're in dire straits or we're despairing. I think our church is in a great place. 4 years into it, we've got a great core of people. I mean, we've got a nice full house here this morning. We're getting the work done. The soul winning's being done. People are being reached. I'm for that. But again, the whole idea of the series is seek to excel, to do better, because you're not here. You know, I walked in this morning, you know what? We had visitors at 10 o'clock. You know, and I get it. They're from just out of town and they're visiting. But, you know, what if it had been somebody else who'd gotten a flyer and said, I'm going to go check this church out? What if it was somebody who understood that on time is late and said, I'm going to show up a little early to that church and meet the people and get to know them? And they show up and it's, you know, they're going to get to know Brother Andrew really well because he's the only one here. They're going to get to know me really well because we're the only ones here. And again, you know, you say, what time? You know, you decide. You decide what is early enough to be considered on time to church. But it's not 10:28. It's not 10:30. It's, you know, I mean, 10:15, you know, to me that seems like a good, reasonable, hey, could you be here 15 minutes early? 10, you know, half hour I know is kind of maybe a little much. but there's donuts this morning. You know, I got to get donuts every Sunday? I'm not committing to that. But, you know, why show up early? So that when people come here, you know, it's not this museum feeling here. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that, because I think that's one area we could seek to excel in our church, is being on, having people show up on time. And look, and if you've been late, I'm not, look, it's multiple people, it's multiple incidences, and I understand from time to time, we're all late, things come up, but I'm just making the point this morning that no one is on time accidentally. Just on time, but actually early. You know, that's why she has time to fellowship with the ladies. That's why the children have time to fellowship and draw silly pictures and get to know one another, right? Because here's the thing, no one is on time accidentally. They say, I'm going to be on time, and then they plan to be on time, okay? And again, this idea that rolling in the last minute is good enough, to me, doesn't cut it. That's not seeking to excel. That's just like par for the course. That's just like, okay, I'm just checking off the box. And I get it, people have schedules, people go through seasons, people can't always do that, I understand. I just assume the best in all those situations, but I'm just saying it wouldn't shock me if there's people there that are just going ahead and just waiting to the very last minute just because they feel like. People there that are just going ahead and just waiting to the very last minute just because they feel like it, okay? And if that's you out there, you know, then you got some soul searching to do. Are you glad to come to church? Probably right now. Probably right now you're probably thinking, boy, this would have been a good one to walk in late on. You say, and let me just make some practical tips, because I don't want to just be this sermon, you know. I actually want to give some beneficial things, because I get it, you know. Being on time, showing up, it's a discipline, it's something you have to work at. So let me give you a practical tip on how to do this. This is something that I heard you be somewhere at a specific time, you know, figure out what that time is, and then work backwards from that when you're planning your schedule. Say, okay, I have to be at this place at 10 o'clock, okay? So then you have to go, okay, well, how long is it going to take me to get there? Say a half hour, okay? You know, some of you, it takes longer than that, yet you still manage. You know, it's probably because they did that on purpose, okay? But you say, I got to be there at 10 o'clock, right? Okay, well, it's going to take, they took longer than my wife does to get ready to go out, right? But if you, you know, say you need a half hour, that's what I do. I schedule a half hour. And honestly, that leaves me time because I'm a dude, right? I'm not sitting there making sure my ensemble is just right. I mean, I've got one suit coat. Good night, all right? So it's easy for me. But I'm just saying for you, you know, if you need more time, you need to factor that into your equation. Okay, how long does it take me to get ready? It takes me a half hour, an hour. Okay, well, that's when you need to start getting ready so that you can leave on time, so that you can be here on time. I know this is real practical. I know that's real simple. But, you know, I think if people put that into practice, it would probably benefit them a great deal. It helped them to this church to excel. I mean, I'm sure if you're not doing that at work, you know, you might want to start. You want to be that guy that's showing up, you know, 1 minute late or 1 minute early. I mean, the boss notices. And it's funny how when there's like real consequences involved, people have no problem showing up on time. And that's what goes back to what I'm saying. It's attitude. It's priorities. You know, this is a volunteer work. People, if they're late for no good reason, you know, but this is, I'm not going to write you up. There isn't going to be a yearly incident report. You're not going to sit you down and have a yearly review where we're going to have a one-on-one and I'm going to talk about, well, you need to improve. You know, you can do that or you cannot, you know. But isn't it funny how that's exactly how it is at work and nobody has any problems. They'll make those changes. Oh, you want me to be here a little earlier? No problem, boss, because there's real consequences that you're going to feel immediately. Get fired, not going to get the raise, not going to get the promotion, not going to exceed, right? You're not going to excel. Well, you know, there's some spiritual things here that you might miss out on. You know, if you're just in the habit as the man, you know, people can take this or they can leave it because this is all volunteer here. But I'll tell you this much. Tardiness communicates priorities. It communicates your priorities. It says, I haven't taken the time to get myself where I need to be on time. And look, and if you're one that is holding up other people from being where they need to be, that's not good. You know, shame on you. Fix that. People need to be where they need to be. We don't want to be holding up children, holding up parents, holding up families, vice versa. you know, individuals, adults, you know, not getting themselves where they need to be. We need to fix that. Okay, we need to seek to excel. You say, I want you to get specific in this series. When are you going to get specific? Well, we're getting specific. Okay, now you're thinking, that's enough being specific. Go back to being more general. Okay, there's some specific application. And again, I'm not saying this in a mean-spirited way. I really don't want to come across as I'm browbeating or bullying people. But you know what? If you don't point it out from time to time, if you don't say, here's what needs to be fixed, it probably just won't get fixed. And you say, well, to me, it just doesn't seem that important to be here on time because, after all, it's just us. That's a terrible attitude. That is a church anyway. Well, it's just Deacon and his family and them there. You know, there's no visitors. Like, it's like I'm still in that house. You know, we'd moved into my mother's house after she passed away, and the mud room in the back, which faced the alley, had this big sliding glass door. So you could see in. You know, at night, when it's dark out, you can see in, but you can't really see out as well. So I'm sitting there, you know, and I'm pretty much ready. I mean, I've got my lunchbox packed, and I think I was like playing with one of my, you know, Karen at the time, or talking to my wife or something, and I see the pastor's truck, my boss's truck, pulls up, and he's there to pick me up. Do you think I just sat there and waited for him to come knock on the door? Like, tell me? No. Well, here's what I did do. The door? Like, tell me? No. Well, here's what I did do, is when I saw his truck pull up, I pulled on my boots. You think that didn't take very long? And then I laced up my boots. I mean, the whole thing might have taken maybe a minute. I mean, how long does it take to lace up a pair of Red Wings? You know, the tall ones. Some of you probably know the answer to that. You might have timed it. It's been a while for me, right? And then I just thought, well, here we go. And I kissed my wife goodbye, and I walked out the door. And I remember I got in the van and said good morning. He just looked at me. And he didn't say anything. He's like, oh, okay, I guess he's just having a bad morning. Guess he's just in a bad mood. Certainly couldn't be anything I've done. Right? Couldn't be me that's putting him in a bad mood. It's his problem. And then he just turned up the AM talk radio, whatever it is that he's listening to. And we drove for like 20, it was like 20 or 30 minutes in. Then he just turned, and he just turns down the radio and he looks at me and says, it's really hard for me to smile and be friendly with you when you're late. A half hour to 20 minutes late, like several days in a row. I had to drive to his apartment, pick him up, drive out to my boss's house, and then get in a van with the other guys that drove to his house and drive an hour to a job site. So it was like 2 hours of driving. And this guy was late, like 20, 30 minutes, dragging his butt to get in that car so we could make an hour drive and then make another hour drive with the rest of the crew. Hopefully everyone follows what I'm saying. And what this guy failed to realize is that when you're late, it's not just you that's late. You're making other people late. And this really applies more to, like, you know, a job situation. But think about it. If you're late to a job where people are getting paid by the hour, and let's just say you're half hour late, just to make the math easy. Half hour late, which, you know, that'd probably get, you know, I've worked jobs, that would just get you fired. You're half hour late, you're fired. You know, if you were half hour late, it's not just your half hour that you wasted. If you're holding up, you know, several other people, it's their half hour and their half hour and their half hour and their. This guy was a half hour late, but you know what? He cost the company 2 hours of manpower. 2 hours. You know why? Because it was four guys or whatever. We're all half hour late now because of one guy. So this is just some practical application. I know I'm kind of ranting here, but, you know, that's how kind of my tardiness was discouraged, was when someone pointed it out to me and said, hey, here's what it means to be on time. And here's why it's hard for me to have a good attitude with you when you're late. You know, and I didn't know if I wanted to bring this up, but I'm already peeling the Band-Aid off. I might as well just say it. You know, last week, I showed up here late. You know, and by late, I mean like not at 10 o'clock, like at like 15 to. We don't really, you know, I don't know what to think about that. I don't know how to take it. But you know what? I still have to get up here and do this. I still have to get up here and pull out the bulletin and say, thanks for coming, everybody. And I still have to have a good attitude. But you know what? I feel like my boss in that truck. It's hard for me to do that and shake hands and smile when you're just squeaking in at the last minute. Because it just communicates, and maybe I'm wrong, but this isn't the case, but it just seems to send the message of, this really isn't that big of a priority to me. Getting here on time, making this a point of being here. Because after all, it's just us, right? Well, that's not really what I'm aiming for. I want to bring people in here. I want to put some effort into getting other people to come to this church, but I don't want them to walk into a church with nobody in it. Because I've done that. When I started looking for a church, and I walked into a church where there's just, you walk in a few minutes early and nobody's there, or it's very few people, it's like, there's nothing going on here. You say, well, what do you mean? Is there nothing going on here? No, there is something going on here. We do have soul winners. We do have a vision. We do have the King James Bible. I believe God wants this church here. And that this church is and will continue to do great things. But I'm just saying, you know, that's the impression somebody could get when they walk through that door and the building's empty. They might say, in spite of the fact that there is something going on here, they might think, just from what they see, there's nothing going on here. And decide, oh, I'm going to go find another church. And that's happened. We've had visitors come to this church in a midweek service. And I know midweeks are harder to get here. I get that. We've had visitors show up on Sunday nights. And it's just like, hi, you know, I promise there's something going on here. And I know I got to move on, because this is his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Do you see how attitude plays a part in this again? How it's an attitude of thankfulness that would bring you into his courts with praise. You know, if the more we dwell on and think about the Lord, the more that we meditate on him throughout the week, the more that we have his word dwelling within us, the more that we're praying and thinking and seeking the things of God, you know, the more readily you're going to come in here and be wanting to just sing out loud. I'm not saying if you don't that you're just some unspiritual, you know, carnal Christian, but I'm just saying, you know, that might help. But when it comes to this area of singing, what we need to do is to learn to sing and to sing out. And I get it, this is very awkward, but you know what's funny is every time I bring this up, you guys start singing better. So I'm going to bring it up again. You know, because the singing's been good, but it's been better at the same time. So I'm going to bring it up. Go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. You know, sing. Sing out when you come to church. When I first got into Baptist church, they were singing those old hymns, and people were singing out, and I it moved me. They're being so loud that now my voice will get drowned out, and people won't hear me as well anyway. I don't know. Just to me, I love singing out loud, you know, and I get it when it's harder when it's a smaller group and you stand out a little bit more. But, you know, there's something about being in a service where the singing is loud. Anyone who's been to any kind of a large church or any, you know, we go to the Red Hot the preaching conference, or whenever we have a large group of people and you hear that singing, man, it's powerful. It moves you. You know, we could have that every Sunday. There's nothing stopping us from having a powerful, moving song service that draws us closer to the Lord, that, you know, makes us think more in the things of God, that fills us with the Spirit, gets ready for the preaching of the Word of God. There's nothing stopping us from having that if we want to sing out. You know, that, and I say sing, and you say, well, I don't know the hymns. Well, you know, the bulletin, you know, we have the songs listed. You know, and you say, well, I don't have a hymnal. Well, take it down for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. You don't think anybody's ever put that up on YouTube somewhere? I mean, go to Faithful Word Tempe's website. You know, I guess I need to get a link on our website too. There's a link to a website with all of these songs listed, with the MIDI player, and with, you can download it, you can get them sheet music, you can hear it played, there's no reason to not learn these hymns. And I remember when I first started going to church, I remember one of the most vivid dreams I ever had was me sitting in church and just panicking and saying, I have to learn these songs. And you know what? I ended up learning them. You know how I learned them? Because I listened to them throughout the week. You know, I'd have the tape, and by just going to church and hearing it, and by singing out, by trying to follow along, and once I caught the tune, these hymns are not that hard, folks. You know, that's why we sing all the verses, so that by the end of it, you catch it, you know? But you got to put effort into it. Look at Psalms 33, verse 1. He says, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise comely for the upright. So, you know, that last part, praise is comely for the upright. What is he saying there? Is he saying that the upright, they like to hear praise? Is that what it's saying? But when I read this, what I think is that when we praise the Lord, when we rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, when we praise him, it is comely for the upright, meaning it praise looks good on you before God. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely. It's pleasant. Praise is pleasant to behold for the upright. You know, obviously it's good for us to behold. It benefits us to hear singing and to praise God and things like that. But I also believe that God looks down from heaven and hears the praise of his saints and says that it is a comely thing for my people to praise me. God enjoys it. God takes pleasure in the praises of his people. You know, the God of Israel inhabiteth praise. I mean, the command to praise the Lord is the most commanded commandment there is in Scripture. That's all pretty much Psalms is just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Just repeatedly, that's the most commanded commandment we have in Scripture is to praise God. And to him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. You know, and this leads me to my next point is that not perfect. As long as they're practicing, I don't care. As long as people throughout the week are practicing and trying to improve, if they make a mistake, I'm not saying come here and make mistakes, okay? Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, you know, obviously people are going to make mistakes. Obviously people are going to play the wrong note. Obviously sometimes even I've done it as a song leader, gotten up and sing the completely wrong verse. Sometimes I've had to stop and like listen to you guys and go, okay, that's where we're at. We're going to make mistakes. But if you're putting forth the effort throughout the week of learning the songs that are being scheduled, if you're putting forth the effort to play the instrument that you're playing, then you know what? God bless you. You know, because that takes work, that takes discipline, that takes sacrifice. I understand that. But make sure that you're doing it. The other point when it comes to the services and song, and I know I'm going kind of long this morning, and I'll wrap it up quickly, but is the pre-service music. And again, this goes back to the idea of being here early. Of being here on time, is that it would be really great, and this is just something I'd like to see, is if when people came in here, there was music playing. Because sometimes it takes the air right out of a room when you come in here and you can hear everybody's conversations or there's no one talking or, you know, when you walk in and there's music playing, when the hymns are already being played 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes before the service, when there's a continual stream of music, it sets the mood for church. It makes you feel like you're coming into the house of God. You know, rather than walk being on time, it requires people maybe saying, hey, you play this one, I'll play that one, whatever. I'm just saying, if it's possible, why not? You know, if it's not possible, I get it. That's fine. But if it is possible, boy, it'd be great to have some pre-service music. Because, you know, and I'll just read you from Hebrews 13. Because it all comes back to this idea, and I'm going to close this final point. But I'm preaching all this, why? Because of the fact that we want to grow as a church. We want to bring visitors in here. And I'm going to talk about how we're going to do that here in a minute. I have some specific plans on that end. But we don't want to bring them into a library where it's as quiet as a museum or something like that. I'm trying to bring it in a place where it feels vibrant, where the Spirit of the Lord is, where it's exciting, where there's feels like there's something going on, because there is something going on here. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. And I know I'm kind of reaching with this one, all right? That it's talking about being hospitable. But you know what other way we could entertain strangers or people that are foreign to us, people we do not know, is that when they come to church, you know, we are hospitable towards them. We put them, you know, make them feel like, you know, we are hospitable towards them. We put them, you know, make them feel like they're where it's going on, okay? And I'm not saying we need to entertain them in the sense that, you know, I'm going to start juggling or something. You know, we're going to start doing all these stupid things that churches do out there to just make everybody, you know, ooh and ah. You know, we're not going to have people start getting up here in their tutus and doing ballet dances for Jesus. That's out there. You know, we're not going to do things like that. But you know what? One way we could kind of entertain strangers is in our soul winning. Okay? And look, again, we are doing a good job soul winning. Okay? I believe that. You know, we have consistent people that show up and go out and they're a blessing. And I'm saying this as gently as I can going into this, okay? But here's what we need. Okay, if we're going to talk about excelling, and I'm fine with the status quo, you know, I'm not, but if we want to excel, okay, as individuals and as a church, here's what we need to do. Some people need to go from silent partner to speaker, okay? Now, I know that I've preached and have said, and this is still my policy, that I will never put undue pressure upon people to speak when they are not comfortable or when they don't want to, okay? And I'll never do that out soul winning, but I'm going to do it from this pulpit, okay? Because that's what we need. And here's why, is because we have a lot of work to do. And if we double the workers, we just doubled our accomplishments. If we double our work, we double the results. And there's been times when we've gone out soul winning where if you know, just a few more people had taken the time or would just take the initiative and get over that hurdle of awkwardness or whatever it is that's holding them back, if they could just get over that, we would literally have doubled the amount of work we could have done. Think about that. You know, I'm putting this as gently as I can. I'm grateful for everybody that shows up at all, honestly. Because even just by being a silent partner, you showing up, you help us double our efforts. I get that. But we're seeking to excel, okay? And whatever it is that's holding people back, if it's awkwardness or just not feeling like they're ready, you know, we should try to remedy that as individuals. We should try to get beyond that. We should try to, you know, do we need to mark our Bibles? Do we need to ask certain questions? Or maybe it's just, you know, we know what to say, we know what the scripture is, we know what the gospel is, but it's just that getting over those nerves, you know, of knocking that door and going through, you know, the mumbling and the fumbling that we're afraid of, you know. So why do you want more talkers and less silent partners? Or where do you want people to make that transition? So that we can make known the mystery of the gospel and get more people saved, okay? That's why. You say, well, yeah, that was for Paul, though. He said, you know, Paul, as it says there, was an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, that was for Paul. Of course he should speak boldly. He's Paul because, you know, he's an ambassador. But what does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 5? Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, be reconciled in Christ's stead. You know, we are also ambassadors for Christ. We are the ones that need to open our mouths and make known the mystery of the gospel and do it boldly. Another area, and I'm not going to harp on that because, I don't want to put pressure on people. People are, you know, can look, and I've said it and I mean this, people can remain silent partners for the rest of their life. But I will say this, no one's ever taken me up on that offer. I don't know of anybody that's ever said, I'm done. Okay? That's all I'll say about it. Another area that we could prove in is, you know, with the Spanish. If you're a Spanish speaker, you know how to speak Spanish, you are incredibly valuable to this ministry when it comes to soul winning. You know, because me no speak it a Spanish, okay? And I would like to take the time, I wish I had more time in my schedule to be able to devote the hours to do that, but it's, you know, it's kind of a full docket already. But like, if you already speak Spanish, you have good night. This city, last time I checked, is 64% Hispanic. I mean, we go into neighborhoods where it's just like no inglés, no inglés, no inglés. It's like almost every other door is no inglés, right? So if that's you, that's a real area we could manage. On the maps, there's always going to be an overview map of all the maps that are included for the individual teams, right? And on the back of the master map, there is this, I know it's kind of hard to see, but there is a table put out here, a spreadsheet, of the date, the name, the address, this person who was soul winning, and, you know, other, where you can include information about the follow-up. And all you need to do now is just fill that out after your soul winning. You know, if you get somebody saved, if you find somebody, and I'm saying anybody, anybody who gets saved, write it down. I'm going to follow up on all of them. I just want to go out, and you say, when are you going to do that? Saturday afternoons. I'm going to do the Saturday soul winning, take people out soul winning, and then I'm going to go out for a couple hours or however long it's going to take on Saturday afternoon and just go follow up on these people. Because that's the best time to follow up on people, is the day before church, and try to get them into church. Okay? And let me say this, because I don't want to give the impression that this is the end-all, be-all of church growth, that this is it. You know, deacon's going to do soul winning or follow-up, and now the church is just going to explode. That's what I believe, is that God is the one that builds the church. God builds the church. That's what Jesus said. I will build my church. That's what he told Peter and the apostles. Right? The Bible says, if you're there in Psalms 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So ultimately, we can do all the follow-up and all the soul winning in the world, but if God isn't going to be the one that builds a church, it's all in vain. Okay? So I don't want people to get the wrong idea that, you know, handing out invitations is going to be what builds this church. Doing follow-up, you know, is not going to build this church. Engineer circumstances, God will cause people to cross our paths. People will be led here in, you know, in ways we don't understand. People will find us. And people, good night. People will find, have found churches on YouTube Shorts. I was just talking to another pastor. He said, yeah, I got people in my church because they found me on YouTube Shorts. Minute-long video. Now they're baptized members of my churches, or my church. You know, so that's, you know, that's one area you say, hey, what are you doing to excel, deacon? Well, you know, sounds like I got some shorts to make. And I'm not talking about the ones you wear at the pool. You know, sounds like I'm going to have to figure out how to film and edit in a vertical format and do something about this and actually have something worth to say. Right? It sounds like I have some work to do. Why? Because that's the work I can do. You know, I can work on the website. That's where I'm seeking to excel. And there is a better website coming, I promise. I know ours is kind of janky. All right, just being honest, you know. Thanks for not saying amen to that. There's an amen, okay. This witness is true. God bless you. It is, but, you know, hey, seek to excel. Improve the website. Improve, you know, improve the online reach. That's something I'm working on. And don't feel like you have to have the super discerning thing about, obviously, you know, don't send me to try to convert some Jehovah Witness or something like that or whatever. If it's a Spanish speaker, you know, probably not. That's not going to work either, but anybody and everybody that you can think of, write on there when you're out sowing, get them saved, write it down, and I will follow up because I believe that God will bless our efforts. Did I have you go to Psalm? Yeah, we already read it. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Say, oh, God's going to do it. God's going to do everything. Yeah, you know what? God is going to build the church. But that doesn't mean we should take that as, well, let's just not try anything then. Let's just squeak by. Let's just, you know, show up whenever it's convenient. Let's just go soul winning whenever it's convenient. Let's just be satisfied with the status quo and just wait on God to do everything. No, God will bless our efforts. Don't take Psalm 127 as, well, let's not try to do any better. Take that as, you know, yeah, God's going to do it, but we should still do what? Seek to excel in these areas. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the opportunity that we have here in this ministry to serve you, Lord, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us in this coming year to continue to excel as a church. I thank you for this body that you've assembled thus far. I thank you for the faithfulness of the members here, the people that love you and love your word. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to serve you, Lord, out of a sincere lives and in this city. We ask in Christ's name, amen. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we go.
Turn our hymnals to Psalm 374. Psalm 374, send the light. 374.